I think one of the things that really separates us from the high primates is that we're tool builders. And I read a study that measured the efficiency of locomotion for various species on the planet. The condor used the least energy to move a kilometer. And humans came in with a rather unimpressive showing about a third of the way down the list. It was not too proud of a showing for the crown of creation. So that didn't look so good, but then somebody at Scientific American had the insight to test the efficiency of locomotion for a man on a bicycle. And a man on a bicycle, or a human on a bicycle, blew the condor away, completely off the top of the charts. And that's what a computer is to me. What a computer is to me is it's the most remarkable tool that we've ever come up with. And it's the equivalent of a bicycle for our minds.
Hello, and welcome to the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erefon Elijah. Joining me today, he pens your favorite Apple news at Cult of Mac, and he's the Bill S. Preston to my Ted Theodore Logan. Buster! Shiny is
hey,
here.
Man. You know what would be really cool is if we brought Eddie Van Halen into the podcast.
Excellent! That would be cool, actually. Do you know him? Think what that would do for our downloads that week.
Yeah, I know. We would get so many fans.
That'd be amazing. We'd break like 1,000.
Yeah.
Well, for those of you who haven't listened in a while, Leander Caney is not here. Clearly, he is in Japan.
Japan.
Drinking. Have you been following his Instagram? Oh. He always likes to play it off on the show like he doesn't drink very much anymore. You know, he always says that now, but we know the truth.
Sake bombing it up all day, every day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was, the very first thing he did was he posted like a 4-gallon bottle of whiskey at the grocery store.
That was funny.
Right? Yeah. Did you see that? That was like the first Instagram that he posted when he was when he got off the plane. Somehow he got off the plane and within like a few hours he was at the grocery store staring into the beautiful blinking eyes of that very large bottle of whiskey.
Hey, he's on vacation.
And commenting the Japanese people. Yeah, he's on vacation. I would love to go to Japan for vacation.
That'd be pretty sexy.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah.
Oh, so sexy. Well, we have a juicy show for you guys. So spicy.
So saucy.
This week. Because we had leaks galore this week. And the leaks, unlike normal, where we get the leaks from unknown factory workers from Foxconn who were leaking stuff out to the press and then caught and probably tortured afterwards. These leaks came from Apple itself, and they were unintentional. And we have our best look yet at what the iPhone 8 / more likely to be named iPhone Pro will look like, and some more details on its general design and also on the HomePod itself. I think that people probably got fired this week after what happened.
For these leaks?
This is... For these types of leaks, it's kind of unbelievable that these kinds of things slipped out. So we'll be talking about everything that we learned from these leaks, which I should mention, by the way, came via a HomePod firmware that was released, I think, Friday? And it was an absolute goldmine of information. And I heard some of the information was encrypted within the firmware, but somehow some of these developers were able to unencrypt some of the variable names and... You know, through inspector gadgeting their way through the firmware, we're able to figure out all this stuff. And one of the things that was in the actual firmware, which we'll talk about, was an actual glyph, like a visual glyph of what the iPhone 8 is actually going to look like. So
yeah,
it's totally nuts. We'll be talking about everything. Also, if you stay tuned, we have a very special announcement from Buster. And we're going to wrap up the show with an all-new Under Review, where we talk about the gadgets or the apps that we're currently reviewing, tell you what we like, we tell you what we don't like, we tell you all. Before we just jump into this wild and crazy iPhone Pro news, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. If you have a small business, maybe you're a college grad looking for a job, maybe you have a restaurant and you need to promote it online, you need a web presence, my friends. With Squarespace, you can be up and running with a beautiful website in minutes, and Squarespace's templates make it easy to set up a blog, an impactful one-page website if you just need like a simple web presence, or an entire e-commerce site. And you can make your website look uniquely yours, all without knowing how to code. I use Squarespace, I've been using Squarespace for years actually, to power the cultcloth.co e-commerce website, and also the cultcast.com, where we host show notes and post the player for the different episodes. In fact, I have one of our listeners, the very helpful and admittedly very sexy Chris Chia, Cultcast listener, and he is helping me maintain the cultcast.com website. He helps publish content over there, and it's easy to do because Squarespace makes it dead simple to bring contributors in to help you with your site, so you can actually maintain it yourself. So if you need a web presence, you really need to try squarespace.com. You can get started with a 2-week free trial. You can see how easy it is to build a website. And if you like what you have at the end of your trial, you can save 10% off your service with code CULTCAST at checkout. And by the way, if you order a year of service, you get an additional and a significant discount. And you get a free domain name as well at squarespace.com. And the code to use at checkout is CULTCAST. Can I also just quickly ask all of our listeners, all of our CULTCAST friends, we haven't mentioned this in a long time, but it really does help us. So if you wouldn't mind, go to your respective iTunes stores and leave us a review. Now, whatever review you're thinking about leaving, just go ahead and add 5 stars to that. And then leave a comment, a witty comment. Say something about how fun the show is. Say something about how smart we all are, how you feel educated after you listen to the show. Now, I realize I'm asking you to lie, but if you enjoy the show, we could really use your help, because those iTunes reviews help us tremendously. They help us out a lot. It helps iTunes know where to position us in the charts. It also helps new listeners find out about us, because iTunes might recommend us to someone who's never heard the show before. And think about what a great service you'll be doing for that person that you don't even know. It's a great act of charity, turning them on to the CULTCAST. Think how much it will improve their life tremendously. All over the world, too. We have listeners all over the world. So if you could do that for us, I'll give you a very special mind hug. You'll know that I'm executing that mind hug on you, because your buns will start tingling, because I go right for the buns when I go in for those hugs. Buster, you know.
Oh, too much. Yeah.
You know. Okay. Let's see here. Okay, yeah. Someone's getting fired over this. Someone is getting fired over this. Tim Cook. People could tell he was enraged this week at Apple HQ, because his face was a little redder than it normally was. And instead of saying please, when he asked you to do something, he would just ask you to do it.
Oh,
and people were like, oh no. Oh shiz. He's pissed. So what happened? What happened? If you've been reading the Apple blogs, you probably know that, as I mentioned earlier, a HomePod firmware was released. And I don't know, it's not clear to me whether or not Apple intended to release the firmware. I think that they did. Or if they just didn't do a good enough job hiding the different information that we're going to be covering inside the HomePod firmware, so developers were able to scour through it and figure out all these different attributes of the iPhone 8 / iPhone Pro and the HomePod. But man, it was a gold mine, wasn't it, Buster? You were just saying it's crazy all the leaks we've been seeing.
So many leaks about the HomePod, about the iPhone, about functionality both will have. It's just really surprising how much info is in there.
I my jaw dropped when I saw that cliff, because now we know it's going to be a full screen device. We know there's not going to be a home button on it. We know what the shape of the screen is going to be like, and I'll post links to all this stuff in the show notes, because it's going to be a little bit tricky to describe. But I thought it was really unusual how the screen had, at the top, had like that little section where it goes down in the very middle for like the earpiece and probably some sensors, and then it goes back up.
Yeah.
And so they're probably going to split the status bar at the top of the phone into those two different sections on either side of that area that dips down into the screen.
Which is, I noticed on iOS 11, like, actually just fine. Maybe they've already started making room for it. The only thing that's in that section anyway is the time.
Well, it's going to be the time. It's going to be the Wi-Fi, right?
Yeah, but those are cliff. On the left and on the right of the of yeah. that area. Like if you look at your phone, so there's really nothing in that middle area where like the sensors will be.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right. Yeah. It is interesting though that, and I was reading one developer was commenting about this, that one of the reasons they think they went from those little dots that indicate your signal strength back to the bars,
yeah,
is because the bars took up less space and they needed more space because the middle was going to be gone, the top of the screen.
Makes sense.
Anyway, we know that we're going to have a edge-to-edge display with a split status bar at the very top, as I just mentioned, and indicators for Bluetooth, location, battery level will appear on either side of that little dip in the screen. The developer, Steve Troughton Smith, he's the guy who was releasing most of this information, and he's the guy that scoured through most of the stuff and figured out a lot of this stuff. So I definitely want to give him credit. He said the new status bar seems a lot more complex and powerful in design, maybe even interactive. The software, the HomePod software, also revealed that the iPhone Pro will boast tap-to-wake functionality, which is something that I have been asking for ever since the Apple Watch came out. You know how you just tap the screen and it comes to life?
Yeah.
Which makes sense because the home button is going to be gone, so how are you going to activate the screen?
Mm-hmm.
This is also a feature found on Android phones and Windows phones. Do they even make Windows phones anymore? Is that even a thing anymore, Windows phones?
I think it's still a thing. I think they're still trying. They're just, you know, waiting for the inevitable death.
They've got some Nokia phones out there, maybe?
Yeah, I think Nokia is still around.
Okay, well, kinda. I don't know if they're making phones. I wonder.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Well, it appears that the iPhone 8 will have a home indicator, which is the replacement for the home button, and it will just be a software version of the home button. And the cool thing is by turning that little area into an interactive touch zone, if you will, for lack of a better term, they can move some of the actions that they have at the top of iOS down to the bottom. So for example, right. You know how you have like the go back to your app link at the top of your screen when you're navigating around on your iPhone? They can move that stuff to the bottom so it's much easier to reach. So I think it's going to be a big UI improvement. Interestingly, the developer, Troughton Smith, also tweeted he's seen nothing to suggest an ultrasound under the display Touch ID, which I still think they're going to put Touch ID on the phone somewhere. It seems like a huge leap to go from Touch ID to none. And we've seen mixed rumors about iPhone or Apple Pay compatibility with Touch ID. Some rumors have said that banks are not going to allow whatever facial recognition that is going to be built into the iPhone Pro to be used for Apple Pay. But we've seen some rumors that have said that the facial recognition, and we'll talk more about this in just a sec, the facial recognition that's going to be an iPhone Pro is so good, it's actually even better than Touch ID. It's more accurate and will work with Apple Pay. So not sure what's going to happen there yet, but I really hope that they put Touch ID on the back because I think that would make a lot of sense. And I don't want to just rely on facial recognition. There's just something about the idea of doing that I don't like.
It's new, and so you're uncomfortable with it, or is there like some security reasons why you don't like it? Or
I resist change.
Yeah.
Well, let's say for instance, I leave my phone somewhere, and Dustin Diamond finds it. He's got curly hair.
Okay.
Some people would say he resembles me a little bit. Could he unlock my phone?
You mean Screech from Saved by the Bell? That guy.
That's exactly who I'm talking about, Screech. Would he be able to unlock my phone if he put on sunglasses and a trench coat?
Possibly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That makes me nervous. Somehow I don't think so. I think the security is going to be powerful enough that we don't have to worry about that. I think my main concern more is convenience. Is it going to be less convenient to have to pick your phone up and unlock it with your face as opposed to just grabbing it, touching it, unlocking it? And also, how fast is the facial recognition going to be? Although I guess if Apple is going to be replacing Touch ID with what is arguably going to be called Face ID, it's going to be faster. You know they're going to call it Face ID,
something,
don't you think?
Something like that, yeah.
In fact, wasn't that part of this leak? I swear it was. I'm looking through the notes here, and I thought that that the developer had actually identified the name of the functionality. Oh, they were calling it Pearl ID. Hmm. Pearl ID is what they were calling it. And I think that he extrapolated that that the name would be called Face ID. Anyway, let's talk about the code that confirms that facial unlocking is going to be part of iPhone Pro, Buster.
Oh, dude. So there's some code in the HomePod that shows that facial recognition will be part of the iPhone 8.
All right, next story. Next story.
I mean, kind of like the same thing with the glyph that was found. It just shows that there's references to the infrared sensors that are going to be used to unlock your face. So that, I think, is one thing that's important when we're thinking about like the 3D unlocking. We're wondering like, oh, will the cameras be able to be tricked? But it's also going to use other different type of depth mapping sensors too to actually physically measure your face. Well, I guess not physically, but to measure like the mapping of your face so that you can get the different points that way. So I think it would work in the dark, no matter, you know, whether you're in low light or, you know, out in on the daylight. So it could be super useful if it works as well as, you know, intended. But again, Touch ID, when it first came out, it was pretty like shaky the first year or so.
That's a good point. Remember how many issues we had with Touch ID when it first came out?
Yeah, it wouldn't recognize your fingerprints sometimes. You'd have to like redo them. You know, you'd be pressing like all kinds of different like ways to do it. I feel like I had to like redo my fingerprints every 3 months on it.
Yeah, me too. And Leander had terrible problems with it because he's got dried up little prune fingers.
Yeah.
And whenever his hands would get dry, his Touch ID would stop working. And, you know, he's always drinking, so he's always dehydrated. So that was an annoying problem for him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as Buster mentioned, there's supposed to be an infrared camera in there. And if you've never seen an infrared camera at work, they're pretty incredible at seeing in the dark. If you ever use a security camera, you know what I mean. And so for people that are asking how this functionality is going to work in the dark, as soon as I saw that it was going to have an infrared camera, I was like, okay, that's exactly how it's going to work. It's not going to have any problems in dark situations at all. Also, part of the code was the resolution of the new iPhone.
Oh.
The resolution is said to be 2436 by 1125. This resolution is 812 times 375 rendered at 3x, which is exactly the same logical width as the iPhone 7, but 22% taller.
Oh, dude, 22%.
And that would make sense. That's only 22%, man, but you gotta take into account the interactive touch zone, the erogenous touch zone they're going to build in.
Yeah, that's going to be
the auto
game changer.
That's going to be a game changer. So also as part of the leak, Buster, new smart camera features for the iPhone.
Yeah, interesting that this was in the HomePod as well, I thought. But it shows that there were some references to kind of like the way DSLRs have like smart scene selections for like nighttime, landscapes, sports, etc. There's some references for like taking pictures of sports or pets or people. Even like bright stage and fireworks were options, sunrise and sunset too, so that your iPhone acts more like a DSLR than ever before.
I hate these modes on DSLRs.
Me too. Well, totally that's the thing. I think it'll be cool for most users, you know. But if you're a person like you and I who want to shoot full manual control and then I will edit it towards more what I want later, like, yeah, it's like I don't want any of that.
Yeah, this is like grandparent mode, you know? Like, how do I take a picture of my dog?
But you know what? There's way more grandparents that are taking pictures than there are, like, people aspiring to be, like, pro photogs or something, or even amateur photographers. Yeah.
Yeah, so totally. My mom.
Yeah.
My mom, perfect example. She rolls around her yard. My mom has an amazing garden. And she rolls around her yard, and she just takes pictures of flowers all the time with her iPad. So if they have like a flower mode on there,
yeah,
game over, man. Oh, as Bill Paxton would say.
Those macro, she's gonna love that. She's gonna be, pictures, she's gonna be, they're gonna look so good.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna be getting, I'm gonna be getting 2 to 3 times the flower pictures I get now.
Orchids are fun. They're growing in so well.
She doesn't grow orchids. Oh. She grows hydrangeas, roses, and all sorts of other planetary life. But
I've heard if you can grow roses, you can grow pretty much anything.
Are roses hard to grow?
I think so.
She also grows some killer ganj.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, if you can grow roses or tomatoes, you can grow some dank buds.
Well, dank buds, I think, are easy to grow. They practically grow themselves. Trust me. They grow themselves and don't take very much attention from you. I'm part of a Mexican drug ring.
Oh, nice.
You know, we make products for the U.S. market. Yeah, I don't talk about it very much because it used to be illegal. It's not anymore, actually. It's legal here in Washington. But I digress. It is strange that these kinds of features have been included in the HomePod firmware. Again, why would they put information about iPhone 8, especially about the camera itself, inside of the HomePod firmware?
I don't know.
This whole thing is totally bizarre.
Yeah, especially the camera stuff on the HomePod. The only thing I was like is maybe those features will tie into HomePod in some way, or well, because HomePod, like some of the other leaks showed that it's basically running like the full iOS stack, but just a modified version. So maybe they include a lot of that stuff in there just as a way to save time.
Oh, I don't... because it's actually running iPhone
software,
like a variant of iPhone firmware.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Because, and didn't the developer even say this, in iTunes, the HomePod shows up as an iPhone SE.
Right. Which is weird, too.
So maybe it's like some variant of the iPhone SE firmware, and they just dump the whole thing into it just to kind of get it out, and they're going to pull back the pieces that they don't need, or maybe they'll just leave them in.
Yeah, yeah. Weird. I don't know. It's tons of software to go through. Like, you're looking at, like, the lines of code where these guys found clues, and it's, like, line 60,000 from one file or something, and they found this little tidbit. You're like, man, it's amazing, like, what some of those guys like Steve do to find all this little stuff.
There's, it is, and they're cross-referencing pieces of it to other parts of it. I mean, that's one of the reasons they were able to figure out that Pearl ID was going to be some kind of facial ID system, because it was referencing the same parts of the OS as the Touch ID was.
Mm-hmm.
And so they figured out, oh, this is going to be some kind of like facial unlocking mechanism.
Yeah.
At least that's how it seems. So yeah, some serious sleuthing here
and just,
on the part of the developer, Steve Stratton-Smith.
Just to give Steve, like, he's just started a Patreon account too. So if you're interested in all that, like, it's definitely, look him up on Twitter. And maybe, like, consider donating $1 because he's...
Oh, yeah, you know what? I'll give him some juice. I'll link to him.
Yeah.
In the show notes. Yeah, definitely. He can make some money doing this for a living.
Oh,
seriously,
for sure.
Right? Especially because, like I said, some of this stuff was encrypted. I don't know how he got access to some of this stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, and a lot of that stuff, it seems like he just does it like, oh, it's throwaway. He just tosses out these little tidbits on Twitter all the time where you're just like, oh, God, like... He just found out like all this cool stuff about unreleased hardware, and it's just laying there in the code for anybody to find. It's pretty amazing.
So juicy.
Yeah.
And he just hands it out. Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of the HomePod details, so let's go through what we know about the HomePod, or what we learned. Let's see here. So here's a piece that probably won't make you happy. Third-party apps aren't likely to arrive on HomePod anytime soon.
Yeah.
Smith says there aren't any provisions in the HomePod OS shell for installing apps or extensions. So, no apps anytime soon. But you know what?
Yeah.
Apps are kind of overrated, I think. I mean, Apple wants to build apps into everything, and I think that's great if there is a use case for apps. I think eventually they will build apps into the HomePod, but I think it's fine to release without it, especially considering, and I see this all the time whenever we talk about the Echo. Echo has app support, and the apps all suck.
But don't
they all suck. There's like two apps that are good.
Don't they have to like go officially through Amazon for all that to like get support? So it's like kind of a harder process to get on there. It's not super open.
Is that the case? I don't know. I thought it was pretty open.
I didn't know, how many apps there are. I didn't think there was a lot.
There's new stuff coming out every week, but you're right, because Apple or Amazon does send out an email every week highlighting Alexa's new skills, and so maybe it is more kind of like a walled garden approach.
Yeah, and I mean, Apple already has third-party app support for Siri, so that makes it super easy for that type of functionality to port over to the HomePod. So maybe you won't install a HomePod app onto the actual speaker, but it would maybe relay it like through your phone or something like that.
Eventually, they're going to have app support.
Yeah,
we know that.
They have to.
I mean, that's a certainty.
You're going to
right?
be able to be like, say, HomePod, call me an Uber or something like that. Has to be.
Speaking of app stores, I was using my Apple TV and I started wearing my Apple Watch again. And I just, the app those stores suck. In both for both those devices, they suck. They really suck. I wonder if Apple's ever going to do anything with those or if the problem is more serious. But I think maybe the problem is just that those devices aren't devices where you want to install apps. The apps are not very useful. I think that's particularly true for the Apple Watch. I don't really know if the Apple Watch benefits that much from having anything more than a fitness app, at least right now.
Well, you also don't want to f*** around with the screen on the Apple Watch a lot. So with your iPhone, you're glued to that screen and you want to spend time with it. Whereas your Apple Watch, you pull it up, you want to be done with that interaction with in seconds. And even just swiping over to another app to take a look at some benign information and then swiping back over to whatever screen it was on before, like that's not a task I think a lot of people would want. Like your watch is supposed to just kind of be there and you're not supposed to fiddle with it throughout the day.
Yeah, the screen is so small. The fact that they were seriously thinking that people were going to be emailing and stuff on it is it's comical to me. And I think that maybe they thought that the voice recognition was going to solve the problem of the limited interactivity.
But even that
you can have on the device because the screen's so small.
You don't want to dictate a message while like holding your watch up and all. You're like, I got a text message. I'll get to it later from my phone.
That's exactly what I do. It's just basically a read-only device for me.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Not putting data into it.
Yeah.
But so the apps, I mean, because you're having such limited interactions with your watch and because the screen is so small, there isn't a whole lot of stuff that the apps can do. And especially if you own like a Generation Zero Apple Watch, the interactions with the watch are so slow that you would not want to do those things on the app anyway because you're waiting 20 seconds for every app to load. Like even I'm going to give this another shot. I try to use the home app on the Apple Watch to like turn my hue lights on and off. And it was just unbearable. I was like, there's no way anyone's going to do this. It takes like 20 seconds to load anything. If you didn't even have your phone on you, like let's say you were in your house and your phone was across the house, it'd be faster to go across the house and get your phone and do what you want to do than to actually use your Apple Watch. I'm going on a tangent. I know that. Let's talk about this last bit of HomePod goodness.
Ooh.
This is kind of a fun one. Part of the leak included the actual audio files the HomePod is going to be using, like the UI sounds itself. And we're going to let Buster, through the power of his own vocal cords, give you an example of what each one of these is going to sound like. I'm just going to sit back and relax and listen to this, Buster. Whenever
beep bop boop boop bop boop boop
beep beep boop boop. Wow, was that one of
them?
That
was a startup sound.
That's really.
Yeah.
What is the what does the turnoff sound like?
Bing. That's it.
Oh man,
super
that one
simple.
Sucks.
Yeah, that was that Apple simplicity. Yeah. You know.
Johnny Ive designed that one, clearly. Well, if you want to hear any of the other sounds, you can go to the show notes, and click on this link that I included, and you can hear all the different sounds. It's actually pretty cool. I don't know. I mean, it's just kind of fun to hear what your HomePod is going to sound like if you decide to get one. And I went through all of them. I found them to be actually pretty interesting. So I'll include a link to that in the show notes, and you can check them out if you fancy. Okay. That's it. I think that's all the stuff that we got, right? Go to the show notes. I know I've said this 6 times in a row now. Check out the glyph. You can see exactly what the iPhone looks like. And of course, all the stories that we're talking through today, you can go read more information about all the various attributes and juicy unlockeries that we discovered this this week with all these insane leaks. Okay, let's move on, Buster. Let's talk about your special announcement. You're going to be transitioning from male to female, is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to the vagina store to get one of those. Slap it on.
No. That's not the real announcement.
That's not?
Oh, I mean maybe it is. Is it? Is that actually the real announcement?
Well, yeah.
I mean, you dress so sexy, I thought it was a possibility. I was like, I don't know, maybe that is what's happening. But that's not what you told me it was going to be.
No, it's not. I'm just leaving. That's all.
So the big reveal. Well, hold on now. You're not leaving.
Yeah, I'm going
away. You're leaving Arizona, yeah, and you're leaving the U.S. for a temporary period of time.
Yeah, I'm gonna go chill in Asia, I guess, for, I don't know, the rest of the year probably. I'm going to go to Thailand first, and then, I don't know, take it from there and just work while I'm there. I'll still be doing the Cultcast, still be writing for Cult of Mac and everything. So it's just a locational change, pretty much. But I'll be gone for, like, I think the next show.
You'll be gone the next show, and then you're going to try to get back.
Yeah, I'll try and get settled.
The thing is, like, Buster's not planning on leaving, but we're going to kind of have to play this by ear because we don't know what your internet's going to be like.
Oh, and I'm going to be doing the podcast at, like, 2 a.m. in the morning.
Is it really going to be that late?
I don't know. It'll be late, yeah. It's because I think I'll be working, like, 12 a.m. till, like, 6 a.m. is kind of what I plan to work.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So you're going to be working the night shift in Taipei?
Yeah.
I mean,
in Thailand. But I think that'll be...
Well, Taipei's in Taiwan, actually. Where are you going in Taiwan, exactly? Do you know yet?
I'm going to Thailand. I'm not sure where I'm going to go first. Like, there's...
So you're
going
to be working the Bangkok graveyard shift.
Yeah, I'm going to Bangkok first, and then from there I'm going to figure out if I want to go south to some cliff jumping spots or north to jungles and temples and other shit. I don't know. I'm not a good planner, so I'm just kind of flying by the seat of my pants.
Maybe I could start a GoFundMe, and our listeners could send me out to Thailand.
Oh, they should, seriously, because if we raise you $1,000, I think we could get there.
That be enough? We could live like kings, like sultans in Bangkok.
Yeah, bang so much cock.
That would be amazing, actually. I would love to go for even like a few days and just hang out.
You should.
That's get Sendy, man. You know how Sendy I get? You know how much I love to get Sendy.
Be with me in my
Papa
heart.
E needs a vacation. Yeah, so Buster's going to be leaving. He's going to try and stay on the show. I think it's going to work out fine, but, you know, there might be some hiccups here and there. But here's the more exciting part, okay? And this is one of the reasons why I want to talk about this. You're going on an adventure. I mean, this is not a vacation. I've been on trips that are 2 months long. They're not vacations at all. I mean, there's periods where they're fun, but there's a lot of uncomfortable situations. You're not living the life. I mean, you're kind of just like going on this adventure and having good times, having bad times when you're gone that long.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be there and live in towns for at least 2 weeks each. Like, there's some places I want to set up for like 2 months, like Bali. I'm probably going to live there for 2 months and really work from there. And I'm planning to, like, because I'm working maybe 12 to 6 or something like that, to where I can, right after work, go for like a run or a hike or something adventurous for like a couple hours, eat, chill. And so it's not like I'm going to be just hanging out, doing adventurous stuff 24/7 at all. Like, I'm going to try and like actually live there for a little bit. We'll see how it goes.
Right. And why are you doing this?
I just have the opportunity.
What inspired this?
I've wanted to for years. I have this job at Cult of Mac where I can. So that's the first thing. I'm like, who knows how long this will last? So I should take advantage.
Right.
And because I was in a relationship for a long time, and that ended last year. And then at the beginning of this year, I was just like, there's really nothing holding me back other than my 100-pound puppy who's desperately in love with me, but I got somebody to watch him.
What's happening to him?
My parents are gonna take care of him while I'm gone.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so perfect. It'll be fine, hopefully.
I've said this to you multiple times. I'm so envious. You really have no idea. I love traveling. I've traveled most of Western Europe. I've been to Eastern Europe. I've been to a lot of places in the world. I haven't really spent much time in any parts of Asia. I've always wanted to go, but I've never made my way out there. Oh, so I'm super envious that you're going.
Time to go to Asia then,
Dude, yeah, maybe we... I don't know. To our listeners, I know this is like a beggar's town. and I feel somewhat bad. Would you be willing to chip in a few bucks to send me to Asia with Buster?
Coldcast episodes.
Would that be something that you'd want to do? And here's what you'd get out of it. You get to see two almost fully nude pals in very small swimwear document the occasions on their respective Instagrams. Is that something that would be worth it to you? tweet me at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. And if not, that's totally fine. I would never pay to send Alex E. Heath, for example, to Asia. He's a scumbag. And
we can do more than just,
I would never do that for him.
Put it on Instagram. I mean, we can make a full like YouTube video edit. I've been doing a lot of those.
Oh, lately. There you go. That's right. We could. We can absolutely. Do absolutely. I'll bring
stupid,
my D80.
Funny stuff.
And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll crush it.
My 80D, I should say. And speaking of Instagram, this is also one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up. I know Buster's been making some YouTube content of his adventures jumping off cliffs, which has been great. And of course, your Instagram has had a lot of that stuff too. And people are going to be able to follow you on your adventures because you're leaving on the 9th, right? You're leaving in 6 days.
Yeah. August 9th, I fly out of Salt Lake City, go to Qatar, and then I go to Thailand.
Flying into Qatar?
Yeah. So that's cool too. I'm like, I got to be in Qatar for like 5 hours or something.
Shiz.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could follow Buster and his adventures on his Instagram. If you're not already, I would highly recommend that you do so. It's one of the most entertaining Instagram accounts that I follow. And Buster, your Instagram account is GILASHARK.
Right.
Hila Shark with a G. The sharp G.
Hila Shark. It sounds...
Hila Shark.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have to change it so people understand what I'm saying. Because everybody's like, Gila Shark? If you're not from...
Gila Shark?
Yeah, if you're not from Arizona, then it's like, what's a Gila Shark?
No one knows what the hell it is. Yeah. Well, you know, it's memorable at the very least. Well, I'll post a link to Buster's Instagram in the show notes if you want to go check him out and follow his adventures. I think it's going to be great. You're going to be taking your drone too, right?
Oh, you know it. Sorry, DJI.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's gonna be a DJI operative following you in freaking Southeast Asia. That's what I think. Trying to get his hands on you. Whereas, have you seen this? It's gonna be like was it like the Bourne Ultimatum or the Bourne Supremacy, where Carl Urban shows up looking for Jason Bourne?
Yeah,
deep in India.
Have you seen this bearded droner? No.
Have you seen this bearded droner walking around this picture? Try to communicate with the local natives. All right, man. Well, hopefully we'll have that all work out, and Buster will stay on the show as normal. I think it's gonna work.
Yeah,
Southeast Asia has great internet, so I think it's probably gonna work fine.
Yeah,
it's more of a matter of are you gonna be up for doing a show at 2 a.m.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I'm excited about it actually. So I think it'll be fun.
All righty. Well, check out Buster's Instagram. Let's move on to the final segment under review, where we talk about our favorite hardware or apps and tell you what we like, what we don't. I've got a real spicy one this week.
Oh, spicy?
If you like espionage
and
spy trickery.
Is it like
speaking of Jason Bourne,
baby monitor or something?
No, it's I guess it's similar. You want me to go first? I'll just
if you
go
want
first.
To.
I have been reviewing a product from a somewhat new line from Netgear. They have a line of products called Arlo, and they make a series of internet connected camera devices that are fantastic. Every single one I have used has worked so well. I had purchased an indoor 1080p camera that you can connect to anywhere in the world and view whatever, you know, you have the camera pointed at in 1080p, and it has night vision that works very well as well. It uses infrared cameras. And so that got me thinking. So I have this Cultcast command center. Many of you know I've been building, and I'm trying to tech out the entire place, right? I have smart lights. I have all this smart gadgetry that I'm trying out that I'll be pimping on future shows, which I'm excited to talk about. But I wanted some protection for the area, right? I need to lock this place down because we do important work here. And so I reached out to Netgear and I said, hey, you guys have this line of Arlo security cameras called the Arlo Pro, and I wanted to test them out. So they sent them over to me, and these things are... they are fantastic, actually. I'm surprised how much I like them. You have a base unit that you plug into your Ethernet. The base unit has a super loud alarm built in. And then you have a series of totally wireless, easy to install cameras that you can place anywhere around a room, or you can place them outside. They're completely weatherproof, so they can get rained on, snowed on. They have night vision built in. And once you have the camera set up and the base plugged in, you load up the Arlo app, which is such a well-designed app. And you can connect multiple Arlo cameras to the same app. You can view the cameras at any time. So open up the app and view a live stream of whatever the cameras are pointed at any time. And you can also set the cameras to start recording in different scenarios. So you can set up a geofence. So anytime you leave, your alarm, your cameras are activated and will record any motion that they see. Or you could set them up on a schedule so that they activate, you know, at night when you go to bed and turn themselves off in the morning. And then while they're armed, you can set them to do several things. You can set them to record video if they hear audio that's out of the ordinary, or if they see something move into the frame, and they will send you an alert if you want. Or you can arm them so that they trigger the base to sound its alarm if someone enters the frame or if they hear a loud noise, and the alarm will rattle your teeth. It is loud as heck, and it will scare the bejesus out of anyone who enters the area that you don't want to be in that area. So it works very well as a security device. It's got great battery life. In my experience, I've had these things armed, you know, for probably 3 weeks now. I have yet to charge the batteries on any of the devices. The night vision is very good. It is the absolute utmost of convenience, as I mentioned, with no wires whatsoever. And there's two-way audio, so you can use the app to speak to whoever's in the room via the camera, and then they can speak back to you, and you can hear what they're saying. If there's anything that I would say I would like to see improved, the number one thing would be the cameras are 720p, the Arlo Pro cameras are. Yeah, and I really would like to see them upgrade to 1080p. It makes a big difference. Yeah. And they use 720p because apparently it makes the batteries last longer. But I would almost be willing to sacrifice a little bit of battery life to get the 1080p functionality, because the 1080p quality is a lot better than what it is now. I don't think this is necessarily a Netgear issue. It might be like an Apple issue, but the geofencing is a rather large area. So my Cultcast Command Center is on my property near my house, and the geofence is too large to know that. So I would like the geofence area to be maybe like 30 or 40 feet, and now it's like, I think, like a block. So if you don't leave this block area, your geofencing won't activate the cameras and the alarm. So it's a feature that I don't use very often, just because what I want it to do is to activate every time I leave the cult command and go into my house. But it's not narrow enough to do that. And then I would say the last one that I would like to see them improve upon is there's no HomeKit functionality.
What?
This camera system would be amazing if they would add HomeKit functionality, because then if the alarms came on or something triggered them, you could also activate your lights or other pieces of equipment on your network that interact with HomeKit. Like, I could have my cyborg come on and just straight up attack those guys with its built-in machete arm. And that's what I want to happen. I want these guys, if someone breaks into Cult Command, I want them to die. I want the doors to shut on them, and I want the whole area to just explode with the C4 I have wired underneath the floors. But I can't, because there's no HomeKit access. So that's my pick. I'll link to this product in the show notes. Again, it's called the Arlo Pro. It is a security camera system. They sell them everywhere. They're at Costco, they're at Amazon, they're at Best Buy. And they have really, really good reviews online too. And I've been reviewing them, and they're great. They're actually, I'll go as far as saying this. There's a lot of wireless IP cameras out there. A lot of them try to nickel and dime you. So they'll sell you a really cheap camera, and they try to make you pay for cloud storage. Yeah. And the Arlo give you 7 days of free cloud storage. It's the most generous of any camera system I've seen. So they're not trying to nickel and dime you. You can use the camera system without ever paying for more cloud storage. Plus, they're reliable. A lot of the IP cameras that are out there just aren't that reliable. They disconnect, or their apps suck. You know, there's something about them that just makes them hard to use. And the Arlo product line is the most polished internet-connected camera line that I have used thus far. They make the best that's out there, in my opinion. So if you're interested in having some wireless security cameras, I think this is the way to go. They're easy to recommend. They are expensive though, like between $400 and I don't know, even like $600, depending on how many cameras you get. Actually, maybe as low as $350. I'd have to check, but it depends on how many cameras you get. They sell them in different bundles. That's my pitch, Buster. What do you have?
That's cool. I got another camera. It's not as small as yours, but it's got a lot more functionality. It's the
It's an internet connected camera.
I guess you could. No, you can't connect it to the internet. It's the Olympus OMD EM Mark II. It's a.
Oh, dude, you got one of those?
Yeah.
It's a mirrorless. Yeah, isn't it?
It's a mirrorless camera. I had the Mark I, and it was a little bit smaller, and it was a great little camera, a nice kind of like entry point for like Micro Four Thirds cameras or mirrorless cameras. But dude, the Mark II, man, oh, it just feels like a serious camera, and it is. Like, it's a pretty amazing. I think the sensor is like 20 megapixels, and it shoots 4K video. I mostly use it for shooting 1080p video at 60 frames per second. But it also has, I think my favorite feature is the image stabilization built in. So even if you don't have your stuff on a tripod or a Steadicam, your shots can still look decently smooth if you're shooting it like 60 frames per second with the built-in stabilization. Like, everything looks great.
Are you taking that bad boy to Thailand?
I'm going to try and make some videos with it because I've been shooting more video with it. I lost my GoPro. Lost that cliff jumping.
Jeez. Dude, of course you did.
And I was using it with the GoPro Karma Grip to, like, you know, have all this Steadicam footage, but I lost that. So I've been using the EM Mark II.
What do you mean you lost?
I was cliff jumping. I jumped in the water. I had it in my hand, and I don't know. I panicked. I dropped out of my hand.
You just let it go, and it floated into the abyss.
Yeah, and then some friends, they tried to like dive down and get it, but it was way too cold and deep for anybody to find it. So, sorry, GoPro.
R.I.P. Yeah. R.I.P. As it goes with every piece of technology, that you own. Yeah. Eventually, the Olympus will probably end up at the bottom of a ravine. It'll end up, you know, falling into a pool of hot lava.
Yeah, it'll be left in some jungle like in that. Thailand, I'm sure.
Does it have interchangeable lenses?
It does. Interchangeable lenses. I think right now I have a 12 meter to 40 millimeter lens on it, which is...
Oh, that's great.
That's everything pretty much. Like, I don't have another lens, but that lens is everything I could want because it's super wide, or I can zoom in pretty decent on it too for portraits and other stuff.
I used to be kind of anti-mirrorless cameras,
yeah.
Truth be told, because larger camera sensors are usually able to produce so much of a cleaner, more beautiful image. But true. Ever since I switched over to the oh my gosh, the X-T1, the Fuji X-T1, I'm a believer. That's the only camera that I use now, pretty much. I almost never use my full frame sensor camera except for making YouTube videos. It takes incredible images, and the JPEGs that come out of this thing are unbelievable. I'm not trying to hijack your picture.
No. I've used that one too, and it's, I think, one of my favorite cameras ever. Now I just want
to
try that.
We should do a show sometime where we just talk about our favorite camera gear and the kind of gear that we use to create content.
Yeah, I'm down. Have you tried the X-T2 yet?
I have not tried the X-T2 yet. I kind of figured there's not really a big reason to upgrade over the X-T1. I mean,
video 4K.
I wonder how good the video is though, because the X-T1, the video is really not that good.
Yeah.
In fact, it sucks. The images are great.
Yeah, and same with the Olympus. Like, I wouldn't say the video is great, but you know, if you're always shooting stuff on your iPhone, it's an upgrade from an iPhone or a GoPro.
It's surprising that the image quality isn't better for video, considering how amazing the image quality, just the plain image quality is.
I think a lot of that has to do with like the processing power behind the camera, right? That's why you don't get DSLRs that are even as good as an actual video camera, like a Sony long video camera or whatever that can shoot 240 at 4K. So I think processing power is like the big limitation behind a lot of cameras right now, or for video at least.
You might be right, because with a video camera, I mean, you'd be shooting at least 24 frames a second, and the Fuji in photographic mode can only shoot like 6, I think.
Yeah, I've wondered how that.
Clearly, there's a lot happening.
Yeah, I think the Olympus can only do 15 frames per second fastest on photos. So you're like, how does that work? I guess it's electronic sequencing versus mechanical sequencing is the difference, but
yeah, it definitely is, and it's probably not adjusting all the various parts of the photograph like it does when it produces a beautiful JPEG. You know, it's adjusting so much stuff. Like, even, man, I hate to gush, but when I find a great product, I love to tell people about it. The most cameras take really bad pictures in full sunlight. I mean, terrible, right? Full sunlight is the worst time to take a photo. The Fuji X-T1, even in bright daylight, will take a beautiful, creamy image. It will smooth out all the highlights. It brings up the shadows. And it creates a gorgeous picture even in full sun. I have never seen another camera, and I've used a lot of cameras in my lifetime. I've never seen another camera do that. I've probably just sold like 5 of them. We should ask them to sponsor the show.
Yeah.
Or at least send me an X-T2.
Yeah, give us some free cameras, some lenses.
Give us some free cameras, Fuji.
Yeah.
Look at the spiel I'm giving for free. Imagine if you sent me one.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, I think that's it, man.
Sweet. Peace out.
I think that's all we got. You're not going to be here next Thursday, right?
We'll be here next week, so have a great show.
But
with
you know
Lewis
who will be
Leander.
Here next week?
Who?
I don't even think Leander's back next week.
Oh.
Yeah, it's going to be me and Adam Christensen, I think.
Oh, we haven't seen from...
Adam Christensen from the MacCast will be joining us next week, so stay tuned for that. Special guest. We haven't had him on in a long time, and he's always a great guest to have on. So we'll be back next week with Adam Christensen. But until then, that's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come say hi or comment about anything we talked about on today's show, we'd love to hear from you. Buster is on Twitter. He's at BST3R. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. And, of course, you want to make sure you're following Buster on Instagram. That's at Gia Shark. I'll link it in the show notes. If you want to check out his Southeast Asian adventures, where he'll no doubt end up in like a bamboo prison at some point.
Thanks, man.
This has been the Cultcast, the best 30 plus minute alpha conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Buster, you take this one.
Next time.
Oh, was man, that, so professional.
Was that deep and, like, sensual?
Oh, yeah.
I was trying to...
Sultry. It was the perfect ending to what some might say was the perfect show.
Oh, yeah, suck it up.
We're going to start a GoFundMe for you as well to have you pulled out of that bamboo prison and have them remove the shoots from your fingernails.
Yeah, because that's seriously like my worst fear of the whole trip. I'm like, I'm not doing any drugs, smoking any weed, drinking any weird drinks, doing nothing.
Dude, that's smart.
Yeah, just don't want to get raped or end up in, some weird-ass prison in Southeast Asia.
I don't want to get butt raped
.
In a bamboo prison in Southeast Asia. That's a good goal.
Yeah.
That would be my goal too.